Poppin', everybody. Hello and welcome to Popcorn Culture. My name is Ben Carlin and I am your host. Here with me today is my brother Jay, who will be in every episode.
Yeah, you're the host for the last time.
The last time ever.
In 2025.
This may even be coming out in 2026.
It might be for the first time ever in 2026.
But this is for the last time ever, because as we were discussing right before we came on to record, that I am going to come in and there's the giant pop sign behind us.
I see it.
I am going to rip it in half.
No, I was gonna rip it.
You were gonna rip it.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. Okay. But so Jay is gonna rip it in half. Mm-hmm. And take off to greener pastures.
Sure.
And at that point in time, I can't really call myself
where I can be the one true host.
Well, I was going to say, I will no longer have a guest, which means I am no longer a host. I am just the...
You're just the guy.
I am the resident.
There it is.
Of the pop set.
There you go.
Will you leave the chair or will it just be me forever?
Yeah, I'll leave the chair.
You will leave the chair!
Well, because then it'll just sort of feel like you're just here and someone else didn't show up.
I could probably make a very convincing Jay out of nothing but sock puppets.
Sock? You think you could make a me out of socks?
I think so. And then I could be like, these socks are amazing.
Walked right into that one.
You did.
Just like socks.
Oh, because you walk right into
you
them.
Because
you wear them on your feet.
Because you wear them on your feet.
Oh, boy.
These are the corny jokes people show up for once a year.
That's it. Anyway, guys, the real reason that we're here today, other than to talk to you, which is usually the entire reason that we're here, and talking to each other, is because it is the very last day of the year here at Super Carlin Brothers
it
HQ.
Is.
Yeah. Actually, the entire team is in the room right now. I'm going to ask them to make some noise so you can hear them on the count of three. So one, two, three.
Oh, they threw something at Ben.
One of them just threw a bear at me. Also, Isabel, who edits the pop, sister, is here.
Yep.
Olivia, so if you could just make some noise all by yourself now.
Oh, cool. There it
was. Did you
She
guys,
said, oh, cool.
Oh, cool. I feel like I put her on the spot in a way that was like,
I'm involved.
It's actually very funny right now because Addison is doing this thing with me where she's like, hey, let's play the game where you copy everything I say. And I say, okay, that sounds good. I'm going to copy everything you say. And she goes, I don't know. And I'm like, I don't know. And she's like, I don't care. I don't care about anything. it's so funny how every single time we play the game, she's like, it's like her mind clamps on itself.
Yeah.
And she can't think of anything to say other than she doesn't know what to say.
Right.
Yeah.
I like to do this sort of pronoun game with Luke where I will like trap him in a sentence.
Ooh.
Kind of where he'll be like, you're like, mine is harder. And I'll be like, yeah, mine's harder. And he'll be like, No, mine is harder. And I'd be like, yeah, mine's harder. Exactly what you said. You know? And then to be like, no, yours is harder. I'm like, yeah, yours is harder. You know? Or then it'll be like, yes, mine's harder. Or whatever. You know?
Wow.
Yeah.
What and a discussion.
I know. Then he'll eventually have to like really like nail down to where it's like, Luke's is more difficult. And I'm like, there you go.
Hey, you nailed it. Got there in the end.
We got there in the end. I can't flip that one around as much.
That was that whole story was Rosie.
Was Rosie?
Riveting.
Rosie the Riveter.
It wasn't very good.
Okay.
I was the whole time I was like, there's a way to make this joke land. Oh, someone laughed. Yeah, okay.
Ethan got it.
Olivia does not seem to think that it was funny. There's a look of like, why am I in this weird person's
office?
She's
like, you guys do this for a living? This is awful.
I never said that.
You didn't have to. Yeah. Yeah. So everybody can tune in soon to the Super Chrisley Sisters. okay, but no, it is the last day of Super Carlin Brothers, and
ever,
for the year.
Nope.
And we have put together a collection of our favorite episodes of After the Final Pop for your listening enjoyment.
I say we put them together. These have been specifically curated by Editor Isabel.
Yes, one of the Super Chrisley Sisters.
One of them.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes, for your listening enjoyment. So if you don't know, if you are a member of the Pop Patreon, you can get access to a little bonus pop every week called After the Final Pop.
And really, the big pitch at this point isn't even just that each week you get a bonus piece of content. It's like, if you've not been signed up for it, then it's like you get a whole back catalog. There are hundreds of these, I think. Hundreds?
If you've just joined and like PowerWatt listened through all of it and you're like, man, I'm sort of bummed that I got to the present and now I can't like just always be listening. Yep. Great news.
Yes.
You can start again.
You can always be listening. ABL.
Yes. to ATFP.
Yeah.
Boom.
That's that should be like we just rename the tier because it's way better. ABL ATFP.
Always be listening after the final pop.
Exactly.
Right.
It's got like a real like you know, roll off the tongued-ness about it.
It sure does.
I feel like tongued-ness is an uncomfortable word.
I don't
to say.
Like it.
Yeah, I'm not a fan.
I wasn't going to circle back to it, but then you brought it up again.
I know. Yeah, tongued-ness.
Tongued-ness.
This is probably the only time we'll say it for the whole year. Yeah. But if it's not, can you imagine? Gross. We should put it on the bingo card just in case.
Tongued-ness.
Tongued-ness.
Yeah, people would be like, I don't, they said it again. God.
Let me free.
Stop it.
Anyway, guys, here are a few of our favorite episodes of After the Final Pop.
Hello and welcome, everyone, to After the Final Pop, where, as always, we got to thank you so much for your support over here on Patreon.
And your support for us lawbreakers over here.
Yes, us law-breaking citizens.
You know us.
Of the United States of America.
We're always out there causing a rumpus.
A rumpus.
Yeah.
Good word choice.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think we had probably one of the most unusual instances of our entire adult life.
Oh my gosh, I know.
This past Friday morning.
It's such a fun sentence to say as like the wrap up to the story, but basically, as you guys know, we've been training for the beer mile.
Yeah, we have.
Mm-hmm. Coming up here in October at GoFest.
Which is causing just a remarkable number of, like, I don't know if you saw during today's, like, main episode. This is maybe more the viewer than you here. But I found a muscle in my calf that was just crazy sore. And so I was just, like, pressing it. And I was just like, ow, ow, ow. It's like... more pressure. Like, it's like I found something that I didn't know hurt, and so I was like just needling it. So that's what happens when you sprint and you're in your mid-30s.
I know. It's like I wish we just never stopped. You know,
we should have just kept running,
but we didn't.
Keep on running. I don't know if that's the words. Keep on running. I don't know, it doesn't matter.
Okay.
Tell the funny sentence. It's a fun wrap up.
Well, okay. Ben, do you remember the time that we got caught on public school grounds drinking beer at 7 a.m?
I do.
Yeah.
I do. Okay. Yeah, good times. Yeah. That's the start.
That's the funny sentence.
Yeah. So yeah. We've been going out. We've been doing these sprint workouts in the morning. It's been super fun. And we've been, you know, getting better and working through a myriad of like leg strains and injuries. And
I know I was stretching for half an hour yesterday. Like the inside of my knees have been feeling like so painful, like just standing at all. And I'm like, I would do these stretches and it would go away. And then like later that day, I'd just come roaring back and I'd be like, oh no.
I know. It's like. It hurts again.
I'm like, you know what? I'm taking a week off. I'm going to let everything heal. The muscles will come back, and then we'll run again, and it'll be fine.
Okay,
be
that sounds like
that's
a plan.
That's my plan. And we almost have to, because we can't really meet at the track anymore.
Yes. So
in the morning, that's, for reasons.
That's the big thing that's been going on. So we've been going to our very own, you know, like middle school track, and where we would have gone to middle school.
Yeah.
And we've been getting there, you know, at like 7:15, 7:20-ish in the morning, maybe a little bit later than that, 7:30. But... you know, you get there, there's almost nobody there other than like an occasional, like one other like person, like out like walking laps or something like that. So it's nice and easy. Everything's all measured out. You know exactly the distances you're doing. So like, you know, for all these various, like, you know, going to like a field and running 100 meters, it's like you can approximate, but
right.
You don't know exactly how far
right.
It is.
And like, when we started doing this, it just so happened that we started like the week before school started. So
yes.
At any time when it's not school, the track is just open to the public.
Yeah, you were just allowed to go.
Just allowed to go.
Yeah, but then school did start, and all of a sudden it was kind of like this thing, like where we're parking, and there's like the drop-off line that's going on in the morning, and you're kind of like, well, like, does it really count? Like, is school like officially like has the day begun, or are we still like pre? Because I feel like when I was a kid or going to school, it was like 8:20 was like morning announcements, and that was like officially when you were like late to school.
Right.
So
yeah.
I kind of would have thought we would have like till then, which realistically these workouts don't take terribly long because you just can't run fast that many times.
Right. Plus, you know, we need to wrap up around then anyway because we got to, you know, get to work and take showers and all that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So there's that.
So we've been out there kind of like everything's been fine. We've been there at least once during a school workout, like where there was no issues whatsoever. But then going into Friday, we were like, well, why don't we go do like a time trial? Because our legs are all like really beat up. It might just be fun to like get like a sense of like how fast can we go if we do the beer chug.
Right. And to see, like, how do we measure up when you incorporate the act of doing the chug into the run?
Right, because we've been doing tons of chugging here in office. Just like, you know, we finish lunch, it's like, hey, who wants to do a chug? And like, you know, we'll fill up our cups with water.
Right.
You know, we have a timer. We got like a paper towel. We're writing all of our names on. It's like, boom.
Yeah.
You know, but then you're never like finishing the chug and then sprinting, like taking off from like a line.
You're just practicing doing the drinking and then going.
Yeah.
And a lot of time we're just drinking like water at the office. So we're like, let's try and get as realistic of a like a start, like a base time trial as we can get, one lap, including the chug. And then, you know, we'll see if we can improve from here.
Yes.
Yeah. So in order to do that, obviously we didn't want to like show up to like a middle school in the morning and like, you know, be drinking beer or something.
Yeah, no, of course not. So we went and just bought like non-alcoholic beers.
Yeah, so we got non-alcoholic beer.
Yeah. So we're not
to simulate it.
To simulate it. Which, so, you know, like, but then you need like your, like the Red Solo cup.
Yeah.
You know,
which right. Because like, that's what you're going to be drinking out of. At the event.
At the event, yeah. So you need like the proper equipment. So, you know, we're getting out there. We go and we run like our mile long warm up or whatever. And we're kind of standing there. We got like you know, Jay's Duffel bag, which has like the six pack of non-alcoholic beer in it with like our solo cups. And like, you know, we're sitting there on the track, like sort of like pouring them at our feet to sort of, you know, be subtle discreet. About it. Yeah,
like Red Solo cups kind of send a message.
They certainly do.
You know, they look weird.
Like, well, I mean, and the thing is like, there's no two ways about it. Like, what we were training for is the beer mile. So right. It's like, you know, it is kind of weird what we're doing. And I bet, I would be willing to bet it was the first time that within that hour span, anybody has ever done what we did there.
I agree. It probably was not what happened. But yeah, we got out there. We did our mile warm up. And whilst we were doing the warm up, we were in the clear.
Yes.
We would have been fine had we just shown up and run. But alas, in the time it took us to do the stretching and do our warm up and get on over to the starting line, the bell had rung. And so as we are in the middle of pouring the beers into the cups, we just see this guy walking at us from the school. And I think in the back of all of our minds, we were like, it's probably just a coincidence.
Yeah, I mean,
this guy can't be coming to kick us off the track.
He could not have been walking slower, like almost as if like he was like, I really don't want to go tell them to leave. And maybe if I just walk painstakingly slow and don't make it obvious, like don't make eye contact with them, then they'll just like wrap up by the time I get there.
Yeah.
But no, we were just getting ready to get started. And realistically, if we have somebody who just left the school walking at us, we're not about to like pick up our beer cups and drink.
I know. Yeah. We're like, uh-oh.
Yeah.
But now it's like, it's also the, like what feels like the worst time because we're not like I suppose we are guilty of trespassing. If anything.
Yeah, very, very like lightly.
Very lightly in the capacity that we were on the track after school had started, although we were there. Like, we just like bled over across the line.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, but it is such bad timing because we have poured the beers but not drank them yet. So, and they're also no longer like in the can. So like there's open cans and poured beer but nothing drank. And this is when the guy walks up.
I know, yeah. So he walks up, man. You know, like we're all kind of like sheepishly standing in front of our cups being like, yeah, like, what's up, man? Like,
yeah.
Like, you don't think this is weird, do you? Like,
yeah, right. But I mean, and it like he was not there to like yell at us or anything. He was honestly like as nice as you could be about it. He was just like, hey, guys, just so you know, I need to ask you to leave because school is officially started. And once school started, you can't be on the track. And if you honestly, if it's between this time and like this time of day, like you're welcome here anytime you want. Come back right then. That's fine by me. You know, it's like
right.
It's like basically trying to like advertise the track as like a feature. But like, but not right now.
But not right now. Yeah. Like because they're about to start like, you know, they've like PE classes or whatever, and they might come outside.
Right.
Yeah, so it's like one of those things where we're like, oh, crap. And he's like, yeah, I need to ask you guys to leave. So we're like, man. So he starts like walking away. And like, we're all standing there and we're like, man, we all got up this morning. We all made it out here. Like, we bought the drinks yesterday. If we dump them on the ground, like, you know, I mean, not that it really matters, but it was, you know, it's like we have exerted energy. We have made, you know, like time out of our schedule to be here. Like the whole thing, spent the money on the things. It's like, we don't want to like waste all of this. So as he's walking away, Mike is like, I'm going to ask him.
Yeah.
So Mike goes like running after him. He's like, can we do one lap? And the guy's like, one lap.
Yeah.
Like, you can do one lap. And we were like, all right, that's all we need.
Cool things. That's all we needed, dude.
Joke's on you. That's all we're going to do anyway.
Yeah.
No, not really. He, like not I said, really. Very nice guy.
No. Yeah.
But so then, you know, then we run over and then there's no like dawdling either.
It's I know.
Like,
yeah.
We gotta
like,
do this.
I couldn't like, yeah, you couldn't like mentally prepare or be like, okay, let me get in the zone real quick. Let me jump it. It was just like, okay, get on the line and 3, 2, 1, gulp, go. Yeah.
Yes. Oh my gosh. And I have to tell you, dude, like the density of the beer versus the water was a huge shift. I think it's either that or my stomach at, you know, 7:35 or whatever in the morning was not prepared to absorb this much liquid.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm sitting there trying to do my chug. I mean, I bet it took me like here in office. I've been doing it in like, it's like 7, 8, 9 seconds, I think.
Yeah.
And I bet it took me like 12, 13 ish mm-hmm. seconds.
Yeah.
So you and Mike are both like off the line and running and I'm like, gulp, gulp. Gulp. Yep. Like I'm like, this sucks so bad.
Mm-hmm.
So then I was just trying to like, you know, chase you guys.
Oh, you know, good motivation.
Good motivation. Yeah. I know. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So like with my moving target. And for me, I don't know. I got to the end of my lap and I come sprinting across the line or whatever. And then the beer is just like, if you were to shake up a beer and open it, what would happen?
Right.
Just it's like
foaming out.
Yeah. So it's like, I don't know if I can quite say I had sponges, a la the beer.
Yeah.
However, the beer just started like coming up.
Yeah.
You know, and it was like, I had no like stomach cramps. It was no, like, it wasn't painful. It wasn't like, you know, it wasn't like that stomach bile acid feeling or anything like that. But yeah. it was like, well, crap.
Yeah. The actual run itself, like the beer was noticeable, but there wasn't like a sloshiness that I was expecting, which I feel like I've experienced before doing the beer mile.
Okay.
Or yeah, doing like the sprint and the chug and sprint, but my knees were just like, that was what was still bothering me so much.
Oh,
so I'm going,
yeah.
I'm just get through the one lap, you know, let's go. So hopefully when we're actually doing it, we're all just injury free.
I know.
It's just, we've worked out all the kinks and we're just good to go.
We're just good to go.
This will all be paying off. But yeah, the sprint was, it was interesting. And that was the story of how, me and Ben three and our friend Mike, three men in their 30s got caught drinking, beer at 7 a.m. on a middle school track.
That's the tale. Hopefully it sounds more innocent. Like part of me was like, are people going to hear this and be like, wow, these guys suck. It's like, oh no.
I know. Like, I felt, and it's like, we were, even when we were just doing the workouts, I think it was worse because we had the drinks with us, which also like, we're not, they're not like problematic drinks because they're not alcoholic,
right?
Or
right.
anything.
Yeah.
It just sort of like looks like weird, but like we were definitely playing. I don't know. It was like we're just like doing a track workout. Like if they tell us to leave, absolutely no problem. Not uh-huh, going to be upset. Yeah. Like I don't know exactly when the line is. It just like, you know, I'm sure it's near here, but like, you know, so that was a,
yes,
we know where the line is now.
Now we know where the line is.
Now we know where the line is. Yeah.
I know. But honestly, my big takeaway was like, I feel like I want to like practice more because like doing the full event.
Yeah.
Because I was like, I don't know if that was my best. You know?
I think, no, we'll do it again.
We'll do it again. We'll just keep going. Yeah.
We'll keep going.
We'll find other tracks. Different hours a day.
We can use this track. Just have to do it a different time of day.
Different time of day. Yeah. We got it.
Yeah. Yeah. No big deal. No big deal at all.
Yeah.
You know, we'll go out on Saturday. It'll be fun.
Yeah, that'd be great.
That'd be fun.
What a better way to spend a Saturday morning.
Exactly, yeah. Ben. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. So now we gotta like reconfigure our plans a little bit. Fortunately, near my house, I also have a track like just a few minutes away. So I should be able to at the very least. If I can't do it in the mornings anymore,
right?
Maybe buzz over afterwards
buzz
or
over.
Something.
I know. Yeah. We gotta figure out somewhere else to do. Which for this week, I don't think it's a problem because I just want to rest this week. So all my muscles can recover.
Here's the real question. Do you think we can beat the rival squad? Whoa.
Excuse me.
Very beer mile appropriate sound.
You know.
Yeah. Do you think we can beat the rival squad with a 6-minute beer mile? Because I think that's about the time frame we're looking at right now.
That's what we're looking at. I think we are going to be well positioned to like win, to be competitive.
Okay.
You know. Excuse me. I don't think anyone else is like training, you know, other, like, I know other people are just like doing regular amounts of running, and so they might just be in good running shape.
Might just be faster than us.
Yeah. But will they be good at the chug? Will they be good at running with liquid in their stomach? I don't know. You know?
Sometimes we got to put some reps into now.
Have they mentally been preparing for this day for 10 weeks? Probably not.
Probably not. Not like us. Not like us.
I feel like if anyone else is doing it, they're more like, this will be a funny thing to do with my friends and whatever.
Yeah.
That's about it.
That's about it.
Not us. This will be a fun thing we can do with our friends competitively.
Competitively.
And take way. This is a fun thing I could take way too seriously with my friends.
That is exactly where I'm at. Like, yeah. I'm enjoying nothing more than taking this very unimportant thing too seriously.
Yes, that's really the fun of it, is that it is taking an unimportant thing very seriously. And which is how, like, I feel like that is like my sweet spot for enjoying a lot of things.
Oh, I agree. Definitely agree. Like, I think what's interesting about it is that it's like probably what we're actually doing is using weird sets of reasoning to just find a way to enjoy doing something. But there's almost no reason why you couldn't just be like, I'm going to start running 5Ks like just for fun.
Just for fun.
I'm just going to like do it for fun. And like, yeah. I'm going to take it like too seriously and see what happens. It's like you are allowed to do that. Like, you could completely like reframe like an actual competitive scenario into like, I'm just enjoying myself.
I know. I feel like for a long time, like, because we did cross country in high school, there was this like, you gotta race things. And then for a while it was like, after it had been so long since I'd like really done like serious running or anything after that, it was like, doesn't matter. Just finishing it, that's just great. You know?
Yeah.
Like, the amount of effort required to be competitive, it's just like, don't worry about going into a race and thinking you have to race it, because like, you're not going to beat the people who are like 17 or whatever.
I'm starting to think that maybe our relationship with like our cross-country days was like, it taught us the importance of friendship, and also that like, but maybe didn't instill into us the joy of running.
It's a weird thing. Yes. I know what you mean.
Like, cause I don't feel like we walked away from it being like, you know what? Running is just a really good way to like feel good.
Right.
Which it can be.
Yeah. It just like, it attached a lot of very specific viewpoints and like attitudes toward running that I don't think were helpful beyond high school.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. To be honest with you, I'm not even sure they were helping me in high school.
Even then. Yeah. Yeah. So
I think I was taking it way too seriously and not having nearly enough fun.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So I think it has taken, I mean, literally decades almost to undo that kind of attitude.
I know. Yeah. And now, unfortunately, we're at the point where every time we run hard, everything hurts.
I know. And I'm like, there's got to be a spot where our bodies are past this part and just used to running again, and we can just do it.
Yeah.
And it won't be like torture for the next 3 days while you walk around, because your body's just built those muscles up again.
Exactly.
That's what I'm hoping.
Yeah. Goals. Anyway, guys.
Yeah.
Beer mile. It's on.
It's going to be great.
The saga continues.
Go Fest Friday, 6 p.m. if you want to come watch.
Be there or compete,
but not if you're really good.
Not if you're really good.
Yeah. Just if you want to have fun.
So it's like, if you're thinking to yourself, I'm an athlete, we don't need you. We don't.
If you're like, you know what? I'm super fast. Just forget about it. Don't even worry.
Invitation revoked.
That's it.
It's a public event.
Paul.
I was thinking it. I wonder if he's listening right now.
He's like, so. Oh, it's on.
It's on. I know. Yeah. Yeah. Gauntlet has been thrown down. Anyway, guys, thank you so much. As per always, let us know what you think. Do you think we can take him down?
Can we win the beer mile?
Can we beat the rival squad? That's all I care about.
I know. Yeah. That's the thing. Even if we don't win, if we beat the rival squad, there you go.
Then we're there.
You know, we'll know what we needed to do.
Yeah, exactly. It's like they don't know how much we cared, but we knew.
That's the thing. It's like they would show up and just be like, oh, you guys are doing it too? So fun. And be like, prepare to die.
See, this is exactly what's happening. It's the high school competitiveness. It's like, here we are being like, we're having fun with it, taking it way too seriously. Yeah. The problem with high school was that we took it way too seriously.
No. We took it the wrong kind of serious. This is fun because we're taking a non-serious thing serious.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But you're absolutely right. It's like, yeah, when we see these people, they're just going to be like, yo, what up?
Yeah.
Good luck, guys. Yeah. Hey, great race out there.
Great race is exactly what it's going to be like. So, yeah. Anyway.
But we'll know.
Anyway. We'll know. Yeah. Victory is, who knows?
Victory is always to be sought. Until next time.
What is that from? It's from The Name of the Wind.
It is.
All right. Until next time.
Bye.
Welcome to After the Pop. Poppity pop. Pop pop after the pop after the final pop. Is that gonna be our song? Is that our song?
What? Pop it pop 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 pop.
Yeah, if we're both doing beatbox sounds, no one's making words.
Yeah. Also, yeah. I don't think you can just keep saying pop over and over again. It's not really a song, is it?
Whatever. I think you make a good, like, like a backdrop.
A backdrop. Yeah. A backtrack.
A backtrack. That's what I meant to say. I'm so good at music.
Same here. Yeah. Okay. I don't like to brag.
I don't like to brag.
You ready?
Yeah, let's do it.
And welcome, everybody, to After the Final Pop, where, as always, we've got to thank you so much for your support over here on Patreon.
You guys are the literal best.
The literal best. Yeah.
Ben, is there a specific thing from the tour that we didn't get to talk about on the main show that you wanted to bring up? I think I have one, if you
okay. Oh, lay it on me.
Okay,
yeah.
Ben, do you remember in Atlanta when we were... We were out at a libationary.
A libationary, yeah.
A bar, maybe other people might call it.
I mean, I like libationary.
A libationary.
Yeah.
And we were just kind of like unwinding from the day. That was the day we got there, right? I think it was.
It was the day we got there. Yeah. We had just driven from Jacksonville, Florida to Atlanta, and we went to the Georgia Aquarium.
We went to the Georgia Aquarium, and then we went to dinner at this like Mexican restaurant, and then from there we went to a different bar.
We checked into our hotel, and then we were like, I think it was like 8 o'clock, and we're like, okay. Yeah. Maybe too early to shut down. We're all tired, but like maybe we can just go like sip on a drink and have idle chatter.
Yes, idle chatter. And idle chatter we did have, Ben.
We did.
With a particular patron of the bar.
We did.
Who spotted my Star Wars Spirit jersey from across the way and thought, wow, that gentleman's wearing an amazing Star Wars Spirit jersey. I need to go chat with him and his cohorts. And in walked to our lives, Brock.
Brock
shows up.
Brock became like the most remarkable fixture of the Southeast Tour canon.
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt. I mean, I won't forget him. For many reasons, but like largely because of when we were inviting him to come see the show.
Yes,
and. Because we told him what we did and that we were doing like this Harry Potter podcast, and he thought that was like really fun, and he had some friends who were really into Harry Potter, and like he like was like texting them about it, and then he like walked away and kind of like went talk to some other people, and like 10 minutes later returns back to the table and is like, look at this, my friend Veronica just bought tickets, and he sent us like a screenshot.
Yes,
or showed us a screenshot of like coming through the Gryffindor. We're like, oh my gosh. And it was like, are you going with her? And he's like, no, I have work tomorrow night, I can't make it, I would have to come like halfway through. And we're like, that's okay. And he's like, maybe I will come. We're like, we'll leave you a ticket at the door.
Yes.
We're basically friends for life now. So, right. But we need your name for will call.
Yes. Yeah. So I've got my phone out, you know, and I've got the notes pad.
Yeah, you got the notes pad.
So I'm sitting there and I'm like, okay, you know, like, I know his name is Brock.
Brock.
I'm like, all right. So if you can give me your last name, and he's like, Brockington. And I'm like,
Brock.
I need, so.
So then what's your first name, right?
And he's like, Brockington. And I'm like, what? Like my I mean, like the little light bulb above my head is like the like it's like flickering out.
Right. Like, you're like, wait a sec. Okay, so are you saying your name is Brock Ington?
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. And so I'm like, can you spell it? And he's like, Brockington. And I'm like, first name Brock, last name Ington.
Right.
Like,
right. And then you're like, that can't be right. That can't be right. It must be the case that your last name is Brockington, so people call you Brock.
Yes.
Right? So then, right. So that maybe that makes, I can see how that would happen.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
But he's like, so finally he's like, Brock Brockington. And it's like, you're really. And at this point in time, I'm fairly certain I'm being lied to.
Right. Yeah. Like, you're lying. What are you doing? What are you talking about?
The whole experience. I mean, not that anything about it had even been remotely negative in the slightest. It had been all just like sparkling discussion, you know, granted over libations.
Yeah.
And you know, nothing askew had happened, but also I not to fault anybody. I would, you know, if he's like, I'm not going to give my first and last name to some people I just met at a bar, but totally that understand. Makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, no issues there whatsoever, but I'm sort of, it reminds me of like the scene in Harry Potter where they're like, what's your name then? And he's like, Dudley, Vernon Dudley.
Dudley.
And it's
yeah.
Like, okay.
All right.
Sure. Yeah, sure.
Cool.
So, at this point though, he literally pulls out his driver's license and shows me his name, Brock Brockington.
Brock Brockington.
Fully and completely verified.
That's his official government name. It's not Brockington, nickname Brock.
Right.
Not nicknamed so severely that you just go by it as your first name and have started introducing yourself as Brock Brockington.
Yeah.
This is his literal name, Brock Brockington.
Yes. Yes.
best name ever.
And so then the next evening we're out at the show. And of course, at this point in time, we're like, we have no idea. Like, you know, he could have just been, you know, the same way, like, you know, if you like run into like an old friend from high school on the street, like, dude, we got to get lunch. You know, like,
yeah.
let's get lunch sometime. And then it's sort of like, you know, you never really do it because everybody's busy. And when was the last time you texted them? And it's like, how serious were they? Like, are we just being, I don't even know. Like,
when I was buying balloons for the twins yesterday at Kroger, I had such a moment.
Yeah.
I was like, there was someone else in front of me and in line standing with his wife. And I was like, I'm pretty sure I know that guy from high school. And it was like, are we going to have a conversation about like, oh man, how are you or whatever? And it turned out the answer was no. We weren't going to have that conversation.
No, not at
all. I don't know if it was like he just didn't notice me or if he just sort of like he's like saw me and he's like, I guess we knew each other, but like, do we know each other?
You know,
it's like, is it like, worth having a conversation right now while we're getting balloons here? Because
are we going to catch up?
Are we going to catch up? And it was like, you know what? We didn't. And I didn't even care. Yeah. I was just like, yeah. You know what? I almost preferred it that way. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway. And sometimes it ends up being fine.
Yeah.
The best conversations, the ones not had.
Welcome to our other podcast, Complete Silence.
Complete Silence.
Just know that we sat in the chairs for the full hour and didn't talk. But yes. You are hearing the silence between us, not just random silence.
Right, right. Yeah. We're hearing our silence.
Our silence. Yeah. And it's a silence of three parts.
Don't get me started on Name of the Wind.
I know.
I'm just kidding. But so then the next night, we're out at the show and we have this like fun, like, look under your chair to see if you're the winner type thing, except we forgot to put the thing under the chair, so we randomly chose somebody. But there was a photo booth in the back right corner of the building, and I was like, dude, how fun would it be if we just like chose somebody from the audience and we ran down off the stage, went and did the photo booth with that person, and they got to like keep the little photo strip as like a commemorative keepsake of the evening. And so we did it. And then while we're out there, now is like that moment where we're like down there, like sort of around everybody because it's the intermission. So they're all getting up to do merch table and drinks and bathrooms and all that type of stuff. So we're high-fiving everybody. It's all good fun. And we like turn around and Brock Brockington
is
standing there with Veronica.
With Veronica.
Holy cow. Man. I mean, I don't think I've ever been so starstruck in my life.
I know. I was like, oh my God, the Brock Jock Brockington here at our show? It can't be.
It can't be.
It was.
It was.
It was. It happened. He was real. He showed up. I couldn't believe it.
I couldn't believe it. He seemed so excited, too.
I know. He was like, what's up, guys? I was like, oh, my gosh. I can't believe you're here. You didn't even seem like a Harry Potter fan. But yeah. You know yeah. what? You're just a fan. I guess you're just a fan of us now. As people.
As people.
As people. Yeah. You know?
And you're he got one of his friends to buy a ticket to our show.
I know. I was like, that's you know what? Good for you, man.
Popcorn Culture is sponsored by Shopify. Okay, today's message goes out to a very specific corner of the Little Kernel community. Those of you who carry that secret in your heart. The secret says, I can do this. I can open my own business. Yeah, I know you're out there, Janet. Probably. Yeah, it would be so cool if somebody named Janet is like, is he talking directly to me right now? And I am, Janet. I am. But starting your own business isn't all about becoming a mogul, launching an IPO, or doing other fancy business-sounding things. It's not a secret you're carrying in your heart, Janet. It's a passion for a thing you want to do. And Shopify is there to help you on your path to greatness. And the best part is, as you grow, Shopify grows with you. Handle more orders, expand to new markets, and do it all from the same dashboard. So Janet, or whoever you are, probably Bill or Rob, maybe Kylie even, in 2026, stop waiting and start selling with Shopify. And sign up for your $1 per month trial and start selling today at shopify.com/poppop. Go to shopify.com/poppop. One last time for safety, shopify.com/poppop. Hear your first this new year with Shopify by your side.
Popcorn Culture is sponsored by BetterHelp. Every year, you guys, we set these big intentions, and not because we're unrealistic, but because we actually care. And the hard part isn't wanting change, but it's staying connected to it once life starts doing what life does. And therapy can be a place to sort through all of that mental clutter. Like, name what actually matters to you, and then have someone in your corner helping you stay aligned with it. Not in like a judgmental way, but in a grounded, realistic one. And that is a huge benefit for therapy. Like, as you start to peel back the layers of what's truly weighing on you, oftentimes you can find that new year's new lease on life any time of year. It doesn't have to be right at January. This is honestly the centerfold of my own therapy journey. Like, part of what made me realize I needed to find some help was slowly losing my passion for my hobbies. It felt like work to engage with them. Sometimes I even dreaded doing them. But what my therapist and I worked on together was discovering that the passion wasn't gone, it was just buried. And when you realize that rediscovering your passions or ambitions is what you're digging for, it can be a bit like a treasure hunt. And BetterHelp therapists can help you on this journey. They work according to a strict code of conduct and are fully licensed in the US. BetterHelp makes it easy to get matched online with qualified therapists. Sign up and get 10% off at betterhelp.com. That's betterhelp.com.
I hope they had a good time.
I hope that Veronica and Brock Brockington had a great time.
Yeah.
At Through the Griffin Tour, Atlanta.
You know, and then the other thing that I think is kind of funny is that Veronica is not terrible. I mean, it's not like, you can't say it's Brock coded, but like Veronica Brockington, like, has its own kind of sort of like,
right,
like hum to it. You know
right,
what I'm saying?
Yeah. It's like that Veronica. Like, the there's the ock. It's like a through line in that name.
Yes. It's like, yeah. You take like there, it's like it like wants to be Brock, but it's does, Veronica.
But it's not Varrock, because there's the Indica in there,
yeah, yeah,
as well.
Yeah, yep.
But you can see like Varrock. It's in there.
Brock and Veronica Brockington.
Yeah. Brock and Varrock. Brock and Veronica. Ugh. Brock and Veronica.
Brock and Veronicanton.
Yeah. They were not dating.
No, they were just friends. Yeah, they were just friends.
They were just friends.
I'm putting this on them at this point. Yeah. Yes. No.
if our after show from a different podcast we do makes its way to them, just thanks for coming out, you guys. It was great.
Wouldn't it be the most remarkable tale of all tales? No pressure or anything, Brock and Veronica. But if they ended up getting married, I would 1,000% officiate.
Oh yeah.
You know,
yeah, like, this was the catalyst. Like,
this is the catalyst.
This was the catalyst. It was like, yeah. So, like,
remember that time you went to a bar and you randomly started talking to these guys and they had a podcast and they were doing a live show the next night, and so they gave you a free ticket and then you invited me to go and then I bought a ticket and then we got there and we met those people and then they talked about it on their other podcast after show and we got so excited and we were kind of like, maybe dating is a good idea.
Like, well, there'll be a laugh. I don't even know.
I don't even know. Should we try it?
Should we try it? Like, I don't know. You want to get like coffee or something?
I do like the sound of Veronica Brockington. It's just like, we've changed these lives forever.
Oh, one can dream, Ben. One can dream.
I mean, it's up there with Carp Girl, I think.
Carp Girl. Yeah. Sab Carp.
Sab Carp, as it were.
Sabrina Carpenter.
Sabrina Carpenter.
Someone who probably went to physics camp with Ben at Smith Mountain Lake Dam.
Yeah, who almost certainly was not born by a measure of like approximately like 10 years.
Yeah, she's secretly 36 years old.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes. You never know, though.
Maybe when you fall into a pit of carps, this is the deal God makes with you. He's like, you know what? That was a really traumatic thing, but here's the thing. You're going to age tremendously.
Yes. Yeah. And you're going to sing a song about espresso, and people are going to really like it.
They're going
to
like it. In fact, Dunkin' Donuts is going to get involved.
That's right.
Yeah.
The Dunkin' Donuts.
The American runs on it. Maybe you've heard of it.
Right. The one from the Ben Affleck and Matt Damon commercials.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Sab Carp.
Sab Carp. As if. Yeah,
Have you heard of Taylor Swift? You will.
I can't. I don't know if everything we're saying is such an inside joke that I find it to be hilarious. But the people listening on are like, what are they talking about?
Sabrina Carpenter is another musical artist who opened for Taylor Swift on the Eras Tour. Her last name starts with Carp, and Ben's looking for Carp Girl.
Yeah,
got it.
Yeah.
You connect the dots. Yeah. We got it. You guys got it. Yeah. We didn't need to explain that.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, worst case scenario, enough people will be contacting Sabrina Carpenter being like, hey, could you possibly be Ben Carlin's Carp Girl? And then she'd be like, who's Ben Carlin? And then she like looks it up and she's like, turns out I totally like Super Carlin Brothers. Maybe they want to do a collab and I can be on a Jay versus Ben versus Sabrina Carpenter.
Oh my gosh. I approve now. Yesterday. Yes, you can be on a Jay versus Ben Sabrina Carpenter.
It's Jeez, like, I mean, okay.
Like, it's cool.
You don't even have to ask. You just have to let us know.
We'll find room in the schedule for you,
right.
Okay?
Blink 37 times if you're interested.
Yeah.
Anyway, all the people who are like, I don't know who Sabrina Carpenter is. Maybe now they're like, I guess I'll go check it out. I'll look it up on Spotify.
There's no way they don't know who she is.
There's no way.
If we know.
Right.
Yeah. But there's very little things we know about music that other people don't know about music.
Jay, we have spent, and I don't think I'm exaggerating here, like 60 plus hours in a car with one Isabel, the podcast editor.
Yeah.
So we are uniquely positioned to be very familiar with Sab Carp.
I mean, perhaps, but she also opened for Taylor Swift, so.
So
there's that, too. I mean,
that's good for your stock.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that got her a little more out there.
It probably helps with some recognition.
She's also just got her face in every Dunkin' Donuts in America.
Which America runs on.
America runs on. So, yeah. If so facto, everyone's at least seen her face, even if they're like, who's that blonde girl selling coffee?
Yeah. We're starting to run laps around the same jokes, aren't we?
Well,
you know.
It's okay.
It's all right.
How much do we think? Do you think more people know who April O'Neil is or Sabrina Carpenter?
Sabrina Carpenter.
Sabrina Carpenter, for sure.
It has to be. It has to be. Who's already forgotten who April O'Neil is?
Oh, that's no. Guys, you know who April O'Neil is. Come on.
Baked into your brains.
Come
forever.
On. You
come
know.
On. Come on.
Come on.
You want to know what does make me really happy about going on tour, though, is the people who come through and tell us that they listen to the pop, and I'm always like, oh.
I know.
Our people.
Thank you.
Hi.
You know a lot about me.
Yeah. Yes. there is a piece of me that can't help. It's like, you know, like, hi, I'm so-and-so. And I'm like, I'm Ben. And they're like, I know. And I'm like, I know, but I need to tell you.
I know, but like, it's, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. It's like, this is how exchanges work. And I'm going to introduce myself back.
Right. I have to pretend like I don't know me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
They don't know we know. They know we know.
Anyway, guys, thank you so much for tuning in to this week's episode
of
After the Final Pop. As always, thank you so much for your ongoing generosity. It is really what kind of keeps, you know, the pop runs on Patreon.
The pop runs on Patreon. And thank you especially to Sabrina Carpenter for being a fan and inviting yourself onto Jay vs. Ben, which we're okay with.
We're okay with it.
Yeah.
It's going to be so much fun.
It is.
We're looking forward to it.
Yep.
It's been great having you.
Mm-hmm.
Until next time.
Bye.
And welcome everybody to After the Final Pop, where as always we gotta thank you so much for your support over here on Patreon.
Yes, and if you haven't seen it yet, the D&D episode is live. It's finally there.
It got sent out. Yeah.
It got sent out. It's up. You can enjoy it now.
It's only like a year and a half late.
Yeah. What was your character's name? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Good question.
Now, I remember the first one was Bellum and Chorster.
I remember Bellum and Chorster, of course. And Jamalama Jing Jong or something.
I think it was like Jamalama Nightshade or something.
Oh, yeah. I feel like you were purple.
Yeah, I was purple. Yeah.
But then in this most recent one, you were Julian Clockfart.
Julian Clockfart. Yes.
quite the possessor of many watches.
Yes. He was really into clocks.
Hang on just one second. I'm sorry. Our mom's calling me.
Oh. Hi, Mom. Well, anyway, so I will just start talking then. I see in here that you pressure washed something this weekend and that it says you can't pressure wash anything without considering a career in pressure washing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, so pressure washing is kind of interesting because it's like an activity, it's remarkably satisfying.
Yeah.
Like, it's not that challenging, and the results are effectively immediate.
Right.
It doesn't, like, you know, once you have spent, like, the initial,
investment.
Sorry, I was making sure that there wasn't a crisis. Mom messaged me as well after calling. Okay. So, once you've made the initial investment into the device itself, then you're there. Then you've got like the main piece. Otherwise, it's just water and gasoline, you know. And like, so I went through, I pressure washed like all of the walkways in my house, like all the concrete stairs, the brick patio and stuff, like, yeah, you know, all these different things. And the end result is just, I mean, really glorious. And so then, like, when I think to myself, I'm just sort of like, this is like the easiest business model to start, because it's like, you know, I feel like I take pretty good care of my property, and yet it still definitely like needs to be done, and it's so fun. And I'm just sort of like, I could just imagine like throwing on a pair of headphones, getting up in the morning, and like, you know, even if it was raining, you can still pressure wash.
Yeah, guess
something.
What? Yeah,
like,
you can be out in the rain.
Just, yeah,
getting
exactly.
wet anyway.
You get wet anyway, exactly. And I'm like, so every single time I do it, I'm just like, I'm going to start a pressure washer company. And I don't know. So that's, I mean,
you could probably get involved in like, you could get some like soaps in there or some other chemicals that are like even more effective than water.
Probably so. Yeah. I mean, yeah. And you know, like, I feel like if there's one thing I know about hauling water in the back of trucks, it's that I know how to do it.
Yeah.
You know, I've done it before.
Yeah.
With all my aquarium antics and everything. So just hilariously, I guess that was about the thing there, is that like every time I use my pressure washer, I'm always like, I should start a pressure washing company.
Do you know, okay, this is like my thing with pressure washing is that, one, I remember doing it as a kid and it being like so satisfying.
Yes.
And whatever. And like I often, like, I will think there's something so, so satisfying about it. And I remember when we were kids, like, I remember dad saying, you got to be really careful with this. Like, this will, you know, this could take your skin off or something. Right. He might have just been trying to scare me. I don't know.
Sure.
But at one point in there, when I was pressure washing our back deck as kids, I like went, it got on my shoe. Like, okay. I hit my shoe with it, and I was like, I freaked out. I was like, oh my gosh, I almost lost a foot, you know?
Right, right.
As only kids can do. But I remember forever, ever since then, I remember that those shoes had a perfectly white stripe down the front of one side of them.
Oh, because
because it got hit with the pressure washer.
Perfectly polished.
And like, in my mind, ever since then, I'm like, that's how you wash shoes.
That's so
like,
funny.
This is like, I want a pressure washer, not for my property, for my shoes. That will do it. That's what I want them. I'm like, I want to rent. This is like one of those things. Like, I need to construct a scenario where I can convince Beth that like we really need to like get a pressure washer so that I can do like the sidewalk or something. But really, what I want to do is just clean this one pair of shoes I have.
It's so funny.
You know, it's like, yes. I know it would work, and then they'd be like so clean, and like that would be great. But I can't just like tell. Like, that can't be the reason I want it.
Right. Yes. Yeah. It's like, you know, I need it for the shoes.
I need it for the shoes. Yeah. I'll clean yours too.
Right. You know? Right. They'll be sparkly clean and maybe partially like separated from the glue or something, you know?
That's the thing. It's like, I'm not even like, by definition, these shoes have to be pretty dirty and beat up anyway, you know?
Right.
I want these so I can make my bad beat up shoes look clean, but still physically be pretty worn out.
Yeah. Exactly.
The dream.
The dream. Oh my gosh, I know. Now I'm literally looking at my white shoes.
And you're
I'm
looking
like,
at your shoes. You're like, I didn't even think about that application.
I should go home and absolutely just completely give it a clean blast.
I so badly want you to.
Yeah.
I want to see what happens.
Well, you know, I might just do it. I might just go home and I might just give it a whirl.
Yeah.
But I had a weekend of like using gadgets that was just really like, I was like, I don't know like what got into me this weekend, but I mowed the lawn. I ran the pressure washer. Yep. I busted out my old Blackstone because there was a period of time, and it's crazy to think that we've been doing the pop the whole time since this started, but we would go mountain biking during like the pandemic because it was a really great way to actually get like a little bit of social time in, and we didn't have to be anywhere physically near one another. Like, so we could all be in the parking lot standing.
This is the same thing we were just talking about on the main episode, how there was like an epidemic of male friendships or whatever.
Right.
You know, and it was like during the pandemic, we all were like we had an excuse to hang out, and that excuse was the pandemic.
Yes. So
it was like, we have to go do this because otherwise we'll go crazy. And then it's like the pandemic's over and it's like, guess we don't have to do that anymore. But it's like, I wish we still did that.
But
now we don't have the excuse, so we can't really do it anymore. So
there was something that was really nice about the fact that like you knew no one had plans because there was nothing anyone could do.
Exactly.
And like, so you're exactly right. Like sometimes like I almost like want to I think there's even a part of me that wants to like live in the woods because I feel like it would like allow me to almost feel like once I was like almost as if like if I say like, no, I'm busy and they drive by my house or something, they're going to be like, well, you're not busy. I can see you're just like at home, just like chilling in your yard, playing Rockets with Addison. And it's like, but
that's pretty busy.
It's pretty busy. It's like I'm doing something. I'm playing Rockets with Addison.
Exactly. You know,
like, I'm focused on that.
Yeah.
You know, and not that I actually think that's like that would happen, but like on some like nonverbal level, that's a thing. That's something I need to be like worried about. And so sometimes like when I think like if I go live in the woods, then it's like I can just like sequester myself away and it's perfectly okay to just not be involved with any plans. Like it's like if I don't have to go do anything.
Yeah.
You know, I can just go and just be, you know. But that doesn't necessarily feel acceptable. But long story long, back in the day we would go mountain biking, and so like a lot of times we were going, you know, on the weekend mornings, and we'd get back and we all would just be starving because you know, you bike for 3 hours and burnt 2,000 calories or something.
Yeah.
And so the thing I kept thinking to myself was like, man, how great would it be if we just had like a Blackstone griddle so we could like fry up some bacon or make some eggs or whatever. It's like we get back and we have like a little tailgate, you know, just right there in the parking lot, and it'd be awesome. And so for my birthday, I think in 2020 or 2021, my brother-in-law Mike and sister-in-law Sammy got me a Blackstone for my birthday.
Yeah.
And it was super awesome and I was so excited about it. And you know, these are like the griddle cooker things, in case you're somehow unfamiliar. That like I feel like they got very popular during the pandemic because everybody was making like fried rice on it and doing like the
hibachi stuff.
The hibachi style. Yeah. Exactly. But then like the other thing that kind of happened was like because I wasn't having like get-togethers or cookouts or whatever, it's like I feel like it kind of got like pushed in the corner of my basement, and I just didn't really end up using it as much as I was certain I would. Mm-hmm. But so over the weekend, I took Addison out to the hardware store, and my way to get her inside was that I was like, you can pick something out when we're in there. And so
I know the hardware store, they got the worst toys.
They do have the worst toys.
Yeah.
They used to have Pokemon cards and they were out.
I've been disappointed here recently. Yeah, by the hardware store's lack of Pokemon cards.
I know, it's very surprising. It's like, you know, I want to buy a hammer and, you know, like three booster packs at the same time. It's like, why is this so hard?
Come on.
But anyway, so I'm going down the aisle. I needed something for my grill, and Addie saw this like pancake making kit where you can get these like, you know, it's almost like a cookie mold in the shape of like a dinosaur.
Yeah.
And it comes with all these like little tubes for like the pancake batter, so you can like neatly like squirt them into like the thing, and you know, it's awesome. And so anyway, I ended up just pulling out the Blackstone and spending like half the weekend like, you know, scrubbing that down, getting all the rust off the surface, completely like reconditioning like the cooktop and all that. So now it's all nice and wonderful. So I got to use that, made the pancakes. They turned out kind of brown, but Addie thought they were amazing, so that's all that mattered. And then also, several weeks ago, for some reason, on a whim, I bought a sous vide, which is like the, like you put like, you know, your steak in like a Ziploc bag or whatever, then you like put it
vacuum seal it,
you put it in like the hot water and like it cooks it like through to like a perfect like medium rare temp, and then you like slap it on the grill and just like sear both sides.
You're gonna sear.
So like this weekend, I used my pressure washer, my lawnmower, my Blackstone, and my sous vide.
There you go.
And I was like, man, wow. I'm using all my gadgets.
Got all your gadgets out there. That's fantastic.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Four.
Fantastic.
And where to find
four.
Them.
Yeah. Fantastic Four and where to find them. In a different timeline, apparently.
Earth 828.
Yeah. 828, I think, is correct.
Anyway. Yeah. So yeah. Anyway, that was I see that you added to my pressure washing thing.
Yeah.
That you used to feel the same way about mowing lawns.
Yeah.
You used to be like
anytime I was mowing lawns, I was like I remember, so mowing lawns. Like whenever I was out there doing it, I would be like, I'm so good at this. I'm like basically amazing at it. And like probably what's going to happen is that someone's going to drive by and be like, I should go inside that dwelling and inquire as to who mowed this lawn.
Yeah.
And I'll be like, oh yeah, that was me. And they're like, it's perfect. It's great. Like we are here to recruit you to like a championship team.
Right. Like, you know,
these are the thoughts you have when you're like 11 years old mowing your lawn. You're just like, I'm like, this is amazing. I'm so good at it.
Lawnmowers like, Anonymous.
Lawnmowers
Let's go.
Anonymous. Like I'm out here every single week. I'm putting in the hours, you know, I'm going up, I'm making perfect lines. You know, I'm not leaving any blade untouched out here.
This is the thing. Mowing the lawn is just about as satisfying as pressure washing.
Yeah.
You know, especially like if the grass is like, not like too tall, but like tall enough that like each new like line you cut through it, it's just like, oh
yeah. Yeah.
That looks better.
It does look better. Yeah.
It's nice and like even now.
It is nice and satisfying to do, especially like I think when we were like, we had one of those lawnmowers that like you didn't have to like empty the bag or anything, you just like either shot it out the side or
whatever.
You know, that was great. I don't have to mow my own lawn anymore, so there's like, you know, which is good and bad. On the one hand, I don't have to do it. On the other hand, I don't get to do it,
you know? Those are the hands.
You know what would be fine is if I just had to mow the area inside my fence. The unfortunate thing is that the actual lawn is wide reaching far outside the fence, and ultimately it's like you basically need like one of those go-kart mowers, because the people who come do it, they have one of those things and they're done in like 15 minutes, and it's like, man,
I know.
Yeah. But then I'm like, I don't really have like a prop. It seems like it would still be pretty annoying because I don't have like a proper like giant like vroom, 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 vroom kind of yard, you know.
Well, dude, that was exactly it. So like you may recall that like earlier this year, like on the pop, I talked about going and like actually looking at this house that was on like, I don't know, something like 50 acres or something.
Yeah.
And one of the things that was really amazing about it is that there was like a football field sized field on the property, and it was just like flat, you know. And I was like, oh my goodness. Mm-hmm. I can just see myself getting up on a Saturday morning, throwing my coffee into like, you know, my cup, putting it in the little holster, driving on down there with my zero turn, and like, you know, you get all lined up and it's just like boom, off to the races. And it's just like anybody looking out the window is like, wow, that looks good. We need him for Lawnmowers Anonymous.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know why it's called Lawnmowers Anonymous, which sounds like a meeting for people who have like lawnmower. Like,
I'm addicted to lawnmowers.
It's like, it's good to see you. Thanks.
I'm a mowaholic.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, they're you know, yeah. So would you want to fire up a little lawn mowing company? You know, like we could just make this a thing.
There you go. Right. Yeah.
We could probably start like next week if we wanted to.
Yeah.
it's like, how'd you guys get started? It's like, well, we used to be
YouTubers.
We used to be YouTubers, but now we mow lawns.
We mow lawns. Yeah. So you know, we went up and then we went even higher.
We went even higher. Everything's working out great.
Everything's working out great.
The thing I'm really curious about is that you said the lawn mowing thing, which makes sense with pressure washing because they're both like household activities.
Right.
But then you also added and riding three-wheelers.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So how did you want to turn riding three-wheelers into a business?
Well, so our grandpa has a three-wheeler.
He sure does.
A Honda.
It was, I feel like it was like 25 years old when we were kids, and now in my head it's 25 years old, but it must be like well over 50
must be pressing 50, you know, up there. It's probably the world's most, I don't even know if they make three-wheelers anymore.
I'm pretty sure that they are massive liabilities.
They are super unsafe. But I'll tell you what, I think our grandpa owns probably the best kept three-wheeler in the entire world at this point.
I would say
so. I wouldn't
so.
Even put it past him, you know? But anyway, whenever we go up there, it was like the coolest thing in the world to get to go ride the three-wheeler.
It truly was.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it was...
If only the kids at school could see me now.
Exactly, Ben. Exactly. If only they could see you now. And so our grandpa, I guess they live on a farm. They don't farm anything, but they got the fields.
No, yeah, it's like a 50-acre... I think you would call it a 50-acre farm.
Yeah. But what he would have is there was always like a path cut up to this one big field that led out of the backyard, and you could go up the hill and then down the hill. And then there was probably like a, I don't know, you kind of like 100-yard straightaway along the back stretch there. You know,
I mean, you could get that thing going full speed.
You could get that thing going full speed. And you know what? I would. I mean, this is the thing. This is how you would spend the day. Up at our grandparents' house, is you'd be on that three-wheeler and you would go full tilt as fast as you could around this giant field. And I remember, like, similar to like when I was out there, you know, mowing the lawn, being like, this is, you know, I'm so good at this. Right. You know, I remember having that feeling as like a 10-year-old on the three-wheeler, just being like, I'm like, I should probably be a professional three-wheeler racer. Like, those are real things that happen. And I would just be blowing everyone out of the water. There's no way, you know.
The throttle down harder than me.
I'm pushing the throttle as far as it can go.
Right.
My thumb can't push it further.
Most people don't do that.
Most people couldn't do that, right? And like this is like I'm amazing. I'm an amazing three wheel racer. And if only someone was out here recruiting right now, I'd be set. You know,
there is a song by Alan Jackson that can make me cry just about every time.
Yeah.
It's called Drive.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure it's called Drive for like Daddy Gene. I think is like, I mean, I'm sure it's like a reference to like his own father or something.
Right.
It is basically like it. I feel like it describes not necessarily specifically the three wheeler, but like. Learning to drive, our grandpa had this like 1960 Ford truck.
Yeah, still has it.
Still has it. 3-speed in the column. It's amazing. And like we learned how to drive that as kids.
Mm-hmm.
We learned how to drive the boats as kids, you know? And it's just like these, it's like the song is describing this like sense of like empowering independence, wonderment, delight, of the recreational activity that is interacting with motorized vehicles.
Yeah.
And it's like, there is something so, like, I remember, I don't think I had listened to it probably for like 10 years. And we were at the beach one year and it came on like, you know, like a beach music playlist or whatever. I had to go to the bathroom and like heave sob. It hit me so hard because I was just like, I can't believe how much this song means to me.
That's so funny.
Yeah. So.
I do. I mean, same field. I remember driving that truck just through the fields.
Yes. Do you remember the song? I bet. Hold on. Let me make sure I know how to say okay. There was a song that we listened to that we would like scream out loud while we were driving.
Yeah.
And on the count of three, we'll say hopefully the same song at the same time. So 1, 2, 3.
Save a horse, ride a cowboy by Big and Rich. Yeah. Absolutely.
Absolutely. And I feel like I have no idea why. Like we could not have been hooked up to like a like an MP3 player.
This was karaoke, man. You know,
were we just singing?
We were just
it?
Solo. I don't think there was no way it was on the. I mean, not to say there was no way it was on the radio. I mean, if they were playing it, it was. But I don't think that's what was happening.
Well, it's not like I feel like in my head we just kept singing it over and over. And there's no way that in that truck you could have just kept playing it over and over.
Yeah,
so
right.
Almost certainly we were just karaoke.
I think we were just karaokeing it. You know,
save a horse, ride a cowboy.
What?
Oh man!
What a great song! What a great early 2000s country bop, you know?
Indeed.
Yeah.
Anyway, guys, thank you so much for all your support here on Patreon. Be excited for these upcoming calendars because I think that they're going to be just truly a delight. I had another idea while we were recording that we should definitely go out and have one that's just very like splitting wood oriented.
Uh-huh.
Because we've talked so much about splitting wood.
Right.
You know?
Sure.
And so like we need like a day where we like go split some logs and
right.
It's just me and you holding our axes, you know, maybe wearing some flannel.
How close are we getting to like a fireman's calendar here, you know?
Like, okay, so I mean, so far we've only come up with toilets.
Yeah.
You know, which I mean 27 Butts Productions, mm-hmm. you know, and then like cutting wood.
Right.
You know, so like, I mean, only one of those I would say is like really, you know, starting to be a little thirst trap-ish.
I mean, I don't know. I assume you mean the cutting wood one.
But
at least in the toilet one, someone's pants could be down, you know.
Well,
you know?
I mean, you know, I get... People are like, can I support you in not receiving the calendar? Is there an opt-out clause?
I feel like every time we say, like, we're making a calendar, I'm like, to me, like, I know that's not what we mean, but I have always imagined those, like, semi, like, you know, like the fireman calendars.
I know what you're talking about.
You know what
about.
I'm talking about. Yeah.
So, I mean, I might
that's
need
not
to
what we're doing.
I might need to do some more push-ups if that's what we're doing.
You know,
I mean,
I'm going to rock a few crunches, you know.
It's like, you know.
Throw on the old weighted vest and start doing some walking.
How hard would it be to get the 18-inch biceps?
Are you familiar with, like, the weighted vest walking that's becoming a trend?
Like rucking?
Rucking, that's what it's called.
Well, I believe that people call it rucking, but maybe those people are doing something different. I own a weighted vest.
You own a weighted vest.
But I don't know. Is this so it's catching on?
It's catching on in like wives our age are buying their weighted vests and going on like neighborhood walks kind of way.
Okay.
Like as like a trendy kind of like modern fitness movement sort of thing.
Is Beth getting one?
I don't know, but she has told me about it.
Okay.
And then I saw some like reels about it this morning. I'm like, it's coming. It's coming. And here's close. What I think, Ben, is that I'm like, man, I thought of this in college. This is like, I was like, in college, I would look at like, it wasn't such a thing then, but I was like, how can I get like weighted clothing or something, or like some sort of weighted thing to wear beneath my clothes that I would just wear around all day.
You know, this
was something I was like very interested in. And anytime I looked up any version of it, it was just like very expensive.
I mean, I could see that.
Yeah.
I could see that. I mean, and the idea was like to do it to like get stronger.
To get stronger. Yeah. Like take off the ankle weights, you know?
Exactly.
Right. Like you're walking around with like 30 extra pounds on you all day, and then you get, you know, that's, you can't help but be burning calories doing almost anything, even sitting.
Well, here's the thing. Yeah. I mean, so that's, I too have been in that, like that mental space before, but like my big thing was that like when I was in college, my big Steve, our buddy that we talk about often, we would play like beer pong, often.
Sure.
I was so horrendously bad at it, and he was so horrendously good at it. And so often it would be the case on like any occasion where like I was actually like winning, or there's only like one cup left or whatever, he'd be like, all right, I'll stop playing right-handed again. And it's like, he would like switch hands and then make like the next like six in a row. And it would just be like, what? Like, I can't, you were just like, just so that I could, you know, so basically it was like, well, the only reason you're really in this is because like, I've been playing left-handed. And it was like, oh man, that stinks. Mm. But sometimes I've thought before that it would be like really fun to like wear like a weighted vest underneath like a hoodie on like a run or whatever. And like get to like, without telling like the people I was with and then like get to the end of the run and like pull the hoodie off and like pull the weighted vest off and drop it on the ground and like let it like clank like the armor that it is.
Right.
And be like, oh yeah, by the way, I was carrying 20 pounds with me the whole time.
By the way. Yeah.
So you know.
Yeah. I think what was really especially super appealing to me about it was that it was like a really, it felt like a really like covert way to get strong.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
It was like a, like I could just be wearing this under my clothes and no one would even know, you know, and there, here I am just, you know, doing my thing.
Here I am.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I like it. Well, maybe we'll have a weighted vest, one for like, you know, July or something.
Yeah.
It's just me and you wearing weighted
vests. Weighted vests.
Maybe we're like walking, like mall walking, wearing like big, like oversized, like orthopedic shoes or something, you know, and like a little headband on and maybe some like,
but I want it to be like, in my mind, what it should look like is like almost as if you are wearing like fake muscles or something.
Oh, I mean, I understand what you're saying.
I don't want like some like, nerdy looking weighted vest, you know.
Dude, there, let me tell you what, if there's one thing about my weighted vest, is that there's nothing nerdy about it.
Yeah.
Like I think it looks like cool.
Right, yeah, you know?
Yeah, I mean, like,
but could you wear it under your clothes without people knowing,
like the shirt that I'm wearing right now?
Yeah, like that.
No, you couldn't.
No,
wear it under,
okay,
this.
But
no.
Like a hoodie, you could.
I could wear it under a hoodie. Okay. And I mean, there's a chance if you know me well or like my stature, you would notice I was like bulkier, but I don't think it would be like really obvious.
Sure, sure. Here's the thing I think would have probably been a problem is that like unbeknownst, like in my mind, this would have been like a foolproof way to do it. And I bet what would actually happen is that you'd have horrible like neck and shoulder pain after like a day.
Maybe. Yeah. I mean, it's like, I think I remember seeing like way back in the day, like one of the things I've always aspired to do is like to hike the Appalachian Trail, yeah. which takes like, to be honest with you, now that I say it, I was going to say like between like 3 and 6 months, maybe. Like,
yeah, I think that's
like,
right.
like a window. Like yeah. it takes like a long time.
Yeah.
Like, it's a massive commitment. But I remember there was like a guy once who posted a before and after picture of hiking the AT. And it was like before he was just like, you're kind of like regular looking guy
yeah.
who, you know, like whatever, like non-muscularly toned or anything. And then there was like the after of having carried, you know, like a 30 to 40 pound pack on his back for 6 months
yeah.
and was just absolutely like shredded.
Right.
And I was like, whoa.
Makes sense.
So it's possible that your neck or back would hurt after like the first couple of days, but then like after like the first couple of months,
right.
I think like things would really start to like, right. you know, shift.
Probably you'd also need to be walking the, you know, 10 to 16 miles a day he was doing.
I suspect yeah. that was also playing a role. Not just walking 10 to 16 miles a day, but also up and down mountains.
Up and down mountains and such. Yeah. yeah. And probably having a very specific kind of diet.
yes. Yeah.
yeah.
But, you know, the great thing about backpacking the AT is that like you're not ever going to carry like beers with you because like it's just pure weight.
Yeah.
So like, you're definitely not going to just be like, you know, like kicking back a cold one at the end of
slamming beers
each
yeah.
hard day.
Right. And yeah. there's kind of like I remember like even when we went to that Linville Gorge hike, which we talked about here on the pop, like, the attitude is sort of like there, you can really never, you can just sort of be eating the whole time.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
I mean, you almost need to be.
Yeah, you almost need to be. Like, at some point, you're burning so many calories at all times. But I do wonder, yeah, like, if we were just wearing, like, effectively, you know, 20 to 30 pounds, just, like, going about your daily life for, like, a month, how different would it be in your physique?
I mean, yeah, I would want to, like, ask someone to make sure that it was, like, safe to do so. But, I mean, I could see it being, like, a very interesting challenge.
Right.
You know, where it's just, like, we show up to work every day and we wear weighted vests the whole time we're here.
Yeah, yeah. This is then I feel like what we do would be like, you know what, we should probably get on the treadmills too.
That's exactly what would happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like it would like one. And I mean, this is, I think, just like our personalities, like one thing would spur the other in such like a dramatic and instantaneous fashion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what would happen.
So anyway, we went long here for after the final pop, but yeah. I feel like it's because we had thoughts to share. So
right,
thank you guys so much as always.
Yeah.
Be sure to, you know, if you're just like listening in at the after the final pop tier and you're sort of like, man, this calendar sounds pretty great. You know, it's like quarterly merch, easy to do, you know, just a little simple little upgrade.
Yeah.
No big deal. Yeah. Easy peasy. Thank you guys so much for your support over here. As always, until next time.
Bye.
Y'all, thank you so much for tuning into this special edition of Popcorn Culture. We hope you've enjoyed after the final pop.
I can't help but notice your delivery was a little flat there, Ben.
Wow, you went for flat. Everybody yeah. always goes for flat. Just because I'm made from cardboard doesn't mean that I need to be flattened with your words.
I mean, I too am of a flat shape these days.
It just makes you a hippa flat.
A hippa flat?
I was going for
dare you?
You had it coming due to your flatness.
Due to my flatness. I will fold you over and crease it.
What? Anyway, guys, until next time.
Bop, bop.
Today's episode was edited by Isabel Chrisley. Vaishon Brandon does our art. Catherine Stein is our production manager, and the show is hosted by me and Jonathan Carlin.